Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Pats fall to the Chiefs. The Real Postgame Show, presented by Kaplansky Insurance. The right coverage at the right price. Kaplansky.com. And co-sponsored by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers. The Pats fall to the Chiefs. Now the most comprehensive review of it begins. This is the Real Postgame Show with Glenn Ordway, Steve DiAzzi, and Fred Smirlis. Broadcasting from our best yet broadcast studios in Boston. Presented by Kaplansky Insurance. The right coverage at the right price. Kaplansky.com. And also in part by the New England Kubota Tractor Dealers. This is the Real Postgame Show. Here's Glenn Ordway, Steve DiAzzi, and Fred Smirlis on Sports Radio WEEI.
We're going to be here with the Real Postgame Show up until 11 o'clock. I'm not sure we have enough time to talk about all of the different things that transpired in this game. In the end, the New England Patriots see their 21-game home winning streak come to an end. They lose 23-16. There were some real questionable calls in this game. There were some struggling, once again, by New England's offense. The defense kind of kept them alive, guys, in that second half. They kept them alive, kept them in the game.
Yep. Special teams came up big with the punt block. Defense got the turnover, the fumble by Kelsey, which very easily could have been a touchdown. The defense stepped up big, and you got to give them credit. But we're saying going into this week, you're probably going to need 24 to 27 points to beat this Kansas City team with the good defense that the Patriots have. And that's pretty much what it was.
So I think that continues to be a problem, Fred. This offense really struggles, and you can see it. They just don't have the receivers be able to do what they need to do.
They stack the line. They just keep blitzing and blitzing, not to give them any time to go search downfield because no one's getting open. But, Glenn, I have never seen.
We'll get there. No hurry.
What do you think? Incompetent?
We'll get there.
Incompetent or on the take? What do you think today?
Corrupt, Fred? Or incompetent?
Exactly.
What about Dorsett? They have arms around him. The ref's standing right there.
I saw the same game you saw.
Blows the whistle. Touchdown.
They were bad.
Touchdown
by 2-on-1 series, so it cost him 4 points.
Yeah, but it's 2 times.
Okay, but it cost him 4 points.
2 blown times. And then where was Dorsett on that play?
4 or 5 yard line.
4 or 5 yard line.
I think.
Around his
the Patriots still had opportunities.
Yes, they
despite
did.
All of that, they still had opportunities. Had they been more effective in the second quarter and maybe the third quarter, it could have been different. But the fact is, this offense is and you talk about the receivers. Yes, agreed about the receivers. But part of that is the offensive line too, because you need your receivers to get open quickly when the defense puts pressure like that on, and the offensive line isn't holding up against.
Well, they showed one about Dorsett. He's running downfield. It's all out blitz, and he doesn't turn around. Tom throws it at him.
Right.
They just got to read quicker.
Agreed.
They're not very good.
Agreed.
But you can't make those mistakes.
But they really have to scheme stuff up to get anybody involved. And you saw it, and Tony Romo talked about it a lot. They really spread out Edelman. They tried to open up the middle of the field.
He predicted it,
but they don't have other guys that can do it right now.
The two biggest plays were trick plays.
Exactly. You know? That first touchdown.
Yeah.
Okay, trick play. And then the other play went white through the long pass. Trick plays. When you're doing trick plays to actually score points or to get yourself a big first down, you don't have enough in the offense to be able to pull it off.
Right. It's because you know you have to.
You can't be consistent. You don't see any of the line. The Patriots had nine play drive all the way down, then kick a field goal.
Right.
Right. They have an interception. Don't get any points.
They left a lot of points on the field.
Early on in the game,
when Kansas City was moving the ball. And so you had to stay with them at that point, and they couldn't. They fell behind by, 16 in the course of the game. You can't do that.
And then the defense emerged and started shutting them down.
Yes.
Did a great job. Right. Special teams come up with big plays.
3 points in the second half, was that it? Yeah,
yep. three points in the second half.
Made some adjustments. Suddenly Kelce no longer was a big factor.
Yep.
Hill was not a factor. Or let's say, put it this way, Hill would catch the ball, but he'd get 3 yards on the catch.
Right.
So no big plays, and they
were
rely on Hill
the
with big plays.
The safety's coming up and taking them out. They were taking them out for 3 yards, 2 yards, 4 yards. They did a great job. But once the offense get the ball, they're trying to run. They get, you know, now it's a second down and 12.
Do you look at this offense and think they were better than last week's offense? Maybe a little bit.
A little bit better.
Maybe didn't run the ball well, but.
Got to run the ball against Kansas City.
You have to.
I mean, notice Sony Michel could not run the ball early, and then we didn't see him again.
5 carries,
right.
7 yards.
Very rarely did we see him. Suddenly it became White, a little bit of Burkhead. They did not want him in the game.
No?
Yep. I'm sorry, Sony Michel has been a major disappointment. If you can't run against this Kansas City team, then guess what? They can put all the pressure on Brady, and the play action, they're not getting fooled.
Also have to give a little credit to Spagnuolo, defensive coordinator for Kansas City. He's the same guy that dialed up a defense in the 07 Super Bowl.
Yep.
So,
Here we go. Praise the Giants. Here we go.
And there's what I'm saying is you don't want to give credit to a good coach.
He's a good coach. I got to give it to him. He's a really good coordinator.
So we agree.
Yes, he's a good coordinator. Right. You gave him your credit. Now you can move on.
What I'm saying is that this offense, oddly enough, I think I might feel a little better than I did last week about it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
A little bit better.
Granted, let's just call it an improvement. It's not a big improvement. It's not a great improvement.
Okay, let me ask you this then.
Okay.
Do you feel better about it when you watch Denver spank the crap out of Houston today? Houston?
It's in Houston.
They'll tell you in Houston. They'll tell you that was Houston's Super Bowl. That was the word. I'm not buying into that.
I wonder what costumes they wore today when they entered the stadium.
They've been doing
please,
that. But it's I don't know. Maybe again, I'm saying an incremental boost in the confidence of this offense. A bit, maybe. I don't know, but it's
here's a big problem in the offense. Big, huge problem in the offense. Mohamed Sanu, senior, 1 target, 1 catch, 13 yards.
Yep.
You know, N'Keal Harry, I get it. He's been injured. It's taking him a while to learn, to pick up what they're doing. And
he was limited
playing time. He played two plays in the game. He didn't play much. You never saw him out there. If they're going to double and beat the crap out of Edelman, Mohamed Sanu has got to get some daylight out there.
They give Harry credit for that touchdown that wasn't called a touchdown.
Correct.
That was Harry.
Correct. Yes.
He did a nice run. He's a big, powerful guy.
Yep.
Got the ball, leaned his forward, and got right into the end zone. The only one that didn't see was a touchdown, but he shows and flashes what he can do.
But guys, they have an undersized slot receiver, mm-hmm. and if you can't get him involved in every single passing play, they're screwed.
Whether it's Tony Romo was describing, spread them out so that they have to bring the double coverage from the middle.
Move the safety over to the outside. Now you got the open field in the middle. But if Dorsett, if Myers, if Sanu can't do damage in the middle of the field, you got nothing.
And are you taking Edelman out of the passing game if you spread him out that far?
We're going to go to Bill Belichick right now, I believe, right? Let's go to Bill Belichick.
First of all, I'm really proud of the way our team competed tonight. These guys, went on battle for 60 minutes. Wasn't always perfect. There's certainly things we could have done better, but, we were competitive right down to the final play, and that's, that'll serve us well going forward. Obviously, we got to do some things better, and we did them tonight. Just wasn't quite good enough. A lot of the circumstances in the game, no point in talking about those, but hopefully we got a lot of football left and see if we get back on track next week, and that's really all there is to it.
Bill, how does the team adjust when there are plays where emotions are running high on the sideline, on the field, where players may have gotten fired up as a result of the way a call may or may not have been made?
Well, it's the National Football League. Just got to continue to compete. Control and control.
Bill, what went into your decision on that 4th and 7 to not kick? Was it the previous kick?
I thought it was the best thing to do.
Raise your hand if you have questions, guys.
Bill, the last couple games, the offense has started slowly but ended up picking up late in the fourth quarter. A big part of that has been James White. What went into the decision to go with the Sony Michel in the run game early and not give the ball to James White until, I believe, halfway through the second quarter?
Yeah, we do what we thought was best. It started slow. He scored first time we had the ball. I don't know. I might have missed it. Yeah. Look, you can second guess all the play calls you want. I mean, that's fine. That's your job. Go ahead and do it. That's fine. We did what we thought was best. That's all we did.
Bill, this was one of those games that got away early and before you made that comeback late. Anything you'd like to take back from that first half?
Yeah, I said there's things we could have done better throughout the game. Absolutely. So, try to do that. Coaching, playing, yeah, there's a lot of things we could have done better.
Bill, how do you feel overall right now about the state of your offense?
I think we lost a close game to a good football team. If we could play a little bit better, I think we could win.
Bill, how about the fight from your guys today? I mean, you can 60 minutes of it anyways. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, that's what I opened with. I was proud of the way our guys competed for 60 minutes. I think I said that right off the bat. Absolutely. 100%. I'm with you. Yeah. It's my number one thing.
Bill, I was wondering, what was the explanation the officials gave you on that N'Keal Harry looked to be a touchdown?
Yeah, you have to talk to them about that. I'm not going to speak for them.
Bill, did the officiating make it hard to get any sort of tempo and flow in that second half?
Yeah, I don't know.
Bill, can you talk about Nate Ebner? He did a pretty good job there on special teams for you.
Yeah, I thought, I thought we competed well. Look, they're good in the kicking game. They got a, very good returner. And, coverage was tough. They got a good cover team, a good kicker, put a lot of hang time on the ball. So, we had to battle for the return yardage as well. Made a big play on the block kick. They made a play on the block kick. I mean, it was a very competitive game all the way through. So, right down to the final. Basically the final 50 seconds or whatever it was on the last play. So all three phases of the game. We made plays on defense. We made plays on offense. They made them on defense. They made them on offense. Both teams playing in the game. Came up a little bit short.
Coach, your defense had a rough first half, but second half you held them to one field goal. So what message did you pass to your defense during the halftime?
Yeah, we just keep coaching through the whole game. I don't wait till halftime to talk about it.
Well, I don't know if you heard it or if it would matter, but you actually got booed off the field at halftime, your offense anyway, at the end. Do you have any reaction to that, or does it bother you at all?
No, we're just trying to win games.
Go. Boy, there were some bad questions there, guys. Amazing. He's not going to answer the question about the officiating, but I think he answered it in the way that what he said. He basically said you'd have to ask them. And he's not going to get into it, even the Harry play, where certainly it looked like he stayed in bounds and he crossed
he
the pylon. Right, he did.
And, the simple solution to that is call a touchdown, which creates an automatic replay. Knowing full well the Patriots don't have the replay challenge.
I've always thought this.
Same with the fumble.
Right.
Let it play out.
Well, they're supposed to let it play out.
Right.
They're supposed to not blow the whistle. They changed it a few years ago in a game against Denver and I think San Diego. And there was a bad call. It was I can't even remember who it was, but there was a bad call in that game. And was it Jacob? I can't even remember who it was. But they changed that rule and they should have let it go if they did. And did not blow the whistle, and then accounted for it after the fact.
Right.
Gilmore would have been in the end zone.
I'd say a very likely touchdown.
Yeah. You'd been in the end zone.
You know, he's already passed the
offensive line. But Phil's not going to answer those questions about the officiating because he's just not going to go there. But I think he gave you the answer in the way he answered it. He's pissed. He's not happy with the officiating. Yep. How can anybody be happy with some of those calls?
Oh, but the three in a row. I mean, right, you know, not giving to him. That was, what were they looking at?
So incompetent, especially when
you get a Dorsett by himself, you get the refs looking at it, and he gets his arms around his arms and hold them. How does that not call?
But Steve's right.
In the end zone.
Steve's right. And I've always thought this, that when you get a play that rules that it's not a touchdown,
right,
you should also review it at that point.
What's so hard about that?
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Because 50% of them are probably going to be touchdowns, and 50% of them are not.
Did someone raise their hands?
And the only time you actually review it is when there is a score. Well, why not do the same thing if there's not a score?
Could have been a score.
Could have been a score.
And it's not correct. That often that happens. No. It's not really that often. It happens a few times a week, maybe. But the fact is that they had plenty of, especially coming off the mistakes that they made with the fumble and with the touchdown call, the non-touchdown call, to let that pass interference go, you would think that they'd be on at least aware. They know they screwed up. When they looked at the replay, and the refs will try to act like they don't look at replays, they see the replay.
Well, I thought that battle in the sideline between Gilmore and Watkins.
Come on.
Notice what they did in the very next play. They called a penalty on Kelsey, and that was not a penalty on Kelsey.
It looked like a makeup
call.
That
was a makeup call.
There was a hint of a second push, but not much. Not nothing.
Watkins drove Gilmore out and then kept him down
with his face mask. Right. Had his hand on his face mask.
And the very next play, they call a penalty on Kelsey. I did not believe that was a penalty.
But again, do we care about makeup? The reason we don't want makeup calls is because we want you to get it right the first time.
Exactly.
And those were too easy. That was an easy situation too. But I didn't even think of that. But that was a fourth one. That fumble and that non-touchdown call were very easily handled the correct way. That you let the play go. You let the fumble go, and then review it. You call the touchdown if it's that close, which turned out really. It was close to the sideline,
yeah.
But if there's a hint of a question, call it a touchdown and let it get checked.
All right, Freddie, we're 14 weeks into the season, and Bill Belichick, the first thing he said is how hard they competed. And I agree, they competed. They played hard today.
Here's
the question. 14 games into it right now, are they good enough to compete with the Baltimores, with the Kansas Cities, with the best teams in the league? Are they good enough? Because I'm not sure personnel-wise – the offense is good enough. Special teams, defense, even though they don't really have return guys on special teams, they're good enough. The offense, I don't think personnel is good enough
to keep you in the game.
And not win the game.
And not win. The Patriots have a defense and special teams that will help keep you in the game. They have to be able to move the ball more. In order to get into the playoffs and play the upper tier guys, you're going to need more. You're going to need more offense to be more active.
But how can you your defense keep you in the game if your offense is scoring?
They have right now, but if they get in the play, when they get in the playoffs because they have 10 wins, that's not going to be enough.
No, you mean their offense is going to be enough?
It's not going to be enough to win.
I absolutely agree.
Not against these good teams. Against Kansas City, against Baltimore, no.
You know what?
And here's the question. Can they fix it? I'm not sure they can fix it because I don't think they have the proper personnel to fix it.
At the beginning of the season, if I told you they were going to hold Kansas City to 23 points, what we'd say? It's a win.
Yes.
Not even a question, right?
We always talked about Kansas City. In order to beat Kansas City, you're going to score in the 30s.
Right.
Right? That's what they did. This defense held them. Without the offense moving very much, they kept them.
Could have won it with 24 today.
Put 24 points.
Right.
Right?
And they don't
If the Patriots were moving the ball, they wouldn't have had the ball as much. You know, they usually keep the ball away from other teams because they go up and down the field.
So New England had a lot of plays late in the game. There was a huge disparity there for a while. It ends up 70 plays for Kansas City, 62 for New England. That's the problem. That's not enough for this New England offense.
Agreed.
They're not getting enough plays out there. You know what they need? They need the defense to turn the ball over and hand it to them.
Yeah.
Or the special teams turn the ball over and hand it
and
to
they
them
did
so
it.
They can get extra plays.
But they did that three times today.
Yeah, they did.
Three times.
And they still end up with eight fewer plays than Kansas City in this game.
Right.
And the defense held Kansas City in that second half. They weren't controlling the ball.
And you had an interception you didn't do anything with. No points.
Right.
You know, you had opportunities. They just didn't have it. So,
yeah, early on, Fred, you had the interception, the New England interception. You got nothing. Okay, you got a 12-point play drive on the field in the first quarter alone.
Yeah.
Against the team that you guys just said, you look at and say, you got to keep them under 30.
But what Bill was saying, this, you're watching this team, they were getting decimated. They were going up and down the field. All of a sudden, it changed.
Yep.
They were stopping them. They got some big plays. But the
offense, a lot of that is coaching.
A lot of that
they changed
coaching.
Up stuff. They did.
They did a lot of things.
That was the difference in the AFC Championship game. AFC Championship game, they held them in check the first half.
Right.
And then
second
Kansas
after a while.
You tell me, I thought Isaiah Wynn had some problems today, Fred.
He had some problems. He got beat inside a few times.
Problems.
He got knocked by. He jumped off sides.
Was it Newhouse on the
it looked like it.
Block,
it was Newhouse
with
the block.
I thought
block
on the block punt.
They were putting number 95 on the center. What's his name? With the big monstrous
Jones.
Chris Jones.
And just whipping him around the
smart
corner.
And that was the other thing.
Smart
I think
move.
Ferentz really had trouble with Chris Jones. He was all
third string center. Yeah. You have to imagine that. That's your third string center who's probably a guard when because nobody carries three centers.
So I know you like Wynn an awful lot, but Wynn has got to play at a high level
all
right
the time.
Now. All the time. Because you're already giving up an awful lot at that center position.
Especially when they're going to, if they know you don't have the receivers to get rid of the ball quickly, they're bringing everybody. They're blitzing time after time after time to make Tom throw the ball. They know that they're not getting their coverage.
So, and you notice a lot of their blitzes came up the middle, too.
That's right. Right.
I mean, well, there was even a safety coming up the middle one time, too. So, they saw weakness and they exploited it. That's what a good coach does.
So you go into this game and you figure New England's got to rush the ball. They ended up with 94 yards rushing. But think about this. Tom Brady had more rushing yards in this game than Burkett, than Bolden, than Edelman, and Sony Michel. He had 20 yards rushing in two plays. One was a 17-yard run that was a huge play in this game. Burkett ends up with 15. He averaged 2.1. Brandon Bolden had one 10-yard run. Edelman had one 8-yard run. And Sony Michel had 5 carries for a total of 8 yards. That's an average of 1.6.
Not going to make it.
Nope.
So, you're not – but they're at the line of scrimmage. In order to get over that, you need to get the receivers open quickly and fired out. How do they do it when the Pittsburgh Steelers had the great blitzing? They wide out in 5 wides with receivers that were getting open.
But you know what Spagnuolo was doing? What he was doing is he was sending everybody,
yep, everybody.
Early in the game. He was sent, and why was he sending everybody? Because he didn't respect the receivers, and he knows New England can't run the football.
And he knows you have a fairly depleted offensive line.
And he knows you've got he's got double coverage on Edelman,
and
so he's the only guy that can catch the ball in a short passing situation.
And no real backs that are strong in blitz pickup either.
Well, and that was the other problem Sony Michel had.
Yeah.
He got bowled over a couple of times. Let's go to Tom Brady at the podium.
I thought they did about his head.
Nope.
Quarterback here.
How you doing?
If you have questions for Tom, please raise your hand. We'll pass the mic to you. Go ahead, Nick Romano.
Tom, when you guys were heading to the locker room after the first half, there were some audible boos coming from the crowd throughout the stadium. Can you guys hear that on the field when you guys are heading to the locker room?
Yeah, you hear cheers, you hear boos. It's part of being in sports.
What was your reaction when that happened after you guys finished with the 7 points in the first half?
Tried to go in and play better, basically.
I know you don't want to blame the officials, but do you realize you threw a touchdown pass, a legit touchdown pass to N'Keal Harry that was not reviewed whatsoever? And how frustrating is that?
Doesn't happen very often, so, it happens. So we still had a chance, and wish we could have scored right then.
Tom, can you just talk about what you saw when you took off to run? You were pretty pumped up at the end of it if you thought, good things were going to happen from that. But just kind of what you saw and why you took off.
Yeah, they were playing a double coverage and just had a little space. So it's nice to get the first down there. We needed it. And we got down in the scoring area and just couldn't quite get it in. So
watch this reaction.
Disappointing that.
Hey, all the hot takes.
Perfect. You're demanding offensively, but going back to Baltimore second half when you guys were really in rhythm prior to the fumble, it seems like it's been a couple weeks, but it felt like energy, sense of purpose was there offensively. Felt like you guys were in a little bit of I don't call it a shootout, but you were going up and down pretty good today.
We had some, we got the ball. We moved it. We had some plays there where we could have scored and just, couldn't quite. We had a fourth down. We had some other ones in a red area, so a couple fourth downs, just didn't make the plays when we needed to make them.
Tom, you guys lost a couple December games last year. Things turned out all right for you guys. How do you handle this mini losing streak with just three games left with the ultimate goal still in reach?
Well, we just got to go out and try to play better and try to win, you know, next week's game. So disappointing, but, you know, not going to feel sorry for ourselves. Try to go back to work and do a better job.
Tom, 2 weeks in a row where the first half offense looks completely different from the second half offense. Is there a simple explanation for how things can look so different from quarter to quarter and from half to half?
I mean, I think we're just trying to figure out what works. So I think you have an idea, and then you see how the game unfolds, and then you got to make some adjustments. So we tried to make some adjustments there in the second half. And, you know, they threw a lot of different defenses at us. You know, some we handled pretty good, others we didn't. And, you know, it was a good game by them.
You know, Connor? Yeah, Tom, over the years, late in seasons, you've probably figured out more things than any quarterback in the history of the game. Are you confident this time around you can figure out your offensive issues, and if so, why?
You know, I don't want to make any predictions. You know, I don't think that's, you know, I think we come in with a plan to get better every week and try to win each game, and each game takes on a little different feel, and the situations are a little different, and, you know, it's a different team every year, too, so, you know, I may have certain experience doing things, but this particular team, you know, as a whole, hasn't been, you know, through different situations. So just try to work through them over the course of the whole season, and we have three big games to go, and we gotta get back to winning football.
Tom, I see you got your elbow wrapped there. What's going on there?
I just got hit right on my elbow. It's fine. Probably be on the injury report, but I'll be there next Sunday.
Tom, I want to go back to the N'Keal Harry play. Not for what you think of it, obviously, but were you given an explanation by the officials why they called it a certain way?
No, there was, you know, the play clock was kind of ticking down, so it was really just ruled out of bounds, and we didn't have time for that. The 40-second clock, we barely got the next play off. I think everyone thought it was a touchdown. They reviewed it, and we realized we couldn't challenge it, and we just tried to run a quick play.
Tom, how much creativity at this point are you guys trying to inject into your offense on a week-to-week basis? Yeah. What Josh is coming up with, just the different things that you're trying to get into the...
Just trying some different things to give us a little spark or momentum. And, you know, we had a couple big ones tonight on the flea flicker and then on the other one where the halfback pass. So those were good plays. Those were good momentum plays. And I wish we could have made a few more of the other ones, too. So,
thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
You didn't get the sense of doom and gloom this time, but he really had no answers. I mean, the question asked about the booing at halftime, what the hell do you expect? That if the team is performing like that and the crowd here is accustomed to seeing excellence for 20 years, you're going to get booing.
That's your
it's
first
just
question.
A normal reaction.
Big deal.
And that was the question, and his, you know, he wasn't going to answer it.
What if he said, you know, I was sad, I was disappointed. I was really down and disheartened until I get in the locker room and talk to the guys.
He can't say that.
I wanted to move on.
Right?
I wanted to put on the cape.
First off, it's not true.
Right.
Second off, I mean, come on. Come up with something
right.
better.
The Harry touchdown, I don't know what he can say about that either, other than they couldn't challenge it because they had used up both of their challengers, which, by the way, I don't have a problem with
right.
because they needed both of those plays to stay in the game.
Correct.
And from what we
correct.
Saw, it looked
and
like
they were right on one of the challenges.
Yes.
Yeah. And the other challenge, it looked like he, because he gave him a yard extra. I mean, even.
Well, yeah.
It was very close.
It was very close to, I mean, that. But the amount of room they gave him beyond the first down, I think that precipitated the thing because that was a really stupid amount of yardage. From where he got, and then when you saw the replay, it was very close. You not enough to overturn it, so that's fine. But you had to do it because of how grossly over the line they spotted the ball. It was ridiculous.
I think the answer that really told you an awful lot is when somebody asked him about last year. You lost back to back games, and talked about fixing it. And he said, "I don't want to make any predictions. Every year is different, different personnel, whatever." And that pretty much tells you. He's not sitting there saying, you know, we think we can turn this all around. On to Cincinnati, you know, let's go. Yeah. I you're not getting that right now because I think he's just as confused as everybody else is in trying to figure this out.
The receivers he has may not be able to do it. I mean, you'd be stuck with a, you know, a two-dimensional football team instead of three-dimensional. This offense may not be able to do much. You know, they won a bunch, a couple games with the defense. They were dominating. They looked very good tonight against a strong offense. They shut them down the second half virtually, but one field goal, and that should have been enough, especially with some of the breaks they got.
But as we noted early in the season, even up and through week 7 and 8, they weren't playing any good offenses, any good quarterbacks. No. And they've come up against 2.5 good quarterbacks now, I mean,
there's pressure to score.
There's pressure to score. Even three, if you put Watson there too. Right. I mean, but the three best quarterbacks they've played, they've lost. And usually it's the better quarterbacks getting in the playoffs.
But it wasn't their offense that beat us. It was their defense today. You know, because like you said, 21 points made.
I think it was your own offense that beat you today.
Your own offense beat us today.
Agreed.
The defense did a great job of keeping that hype.
I know Tony Romo made a big, huge deal about the defense and how Kansas City's defense is getting better. I didn't buy into their defense tonight.
Nope.
I think that was more of what New England could not do offensively. I think there were a couple of instances, again, where Brady was looking at receivers being in one spot and they weren't, and he kind of pointed it out. The interception that he threw that was intended for Lacoste, that might have been Brady's fault because he looked at Edelman and then suddenly threw to Lacoste, and the defender that was on Edelman anticipated that and went back on Lacoste, and that's when he picked it off. So that might have been Brady's fault. You know, we never know because we never know exactly where the ball's supposed to go.
But
I do think he had a couple of plays again today where one to Dorsett, one to Myers, in which there was confusion as to where they were supposed to be.
Agreed.
Yeah. And that defense is not a great defense.
I mean, I don't think it is.
They're going to have to score, you know, 30 points in the playoffs to win. So to us, it looked like they were dominant. They were hitting Tom. How many times did they hit Tom today?
Too many.
He sacked like twice or three times?
Too many.
Every time he's backing up, the guy's coming right at him.
So that's a combination of your offensive line is not strong enough to give you the time. You don't have a running game, so you can't sell any of that. They know what you're going to do, and then, when you're trying to throw that quick pass so that you can escape getting hit or getting hurried, guess what? They're all over Edelman. There's nobody else that can catch the short pass.
But they put the big guy in the center. And they cover up the guards on the outside shoulder. Those guys go up. It's one-on-one with that center. He's getting tossed around like a rag doll. It's not his fault. He's just not that good.
Right. That's the problem. You got a third-string center out there, and you're still playing Newhouse a little bit. And then in the left tackle, numerous plays tonight, I thought Isaiah Wynn
didn't have a great
had some problems. He had some difficulty.
Agreed.
Okay,
they all had difficulty. These guys had – the guards had problems. They're just running them right over. So – everybody had a bad day at the offensive line.
All right, let's go to the phone call, 617-779-7937. We'll let you react, and then we'll let you hear from more of the players, and we'll see if we can catch Andy Reid a little bit later on as well, see what he has to say. Gus is in New Hampshire, first up on the Real Post Game Show. Hey, Gus.
Hey, g'day, fellas. Look, there's so many points to make tonight, but I'm going to save some for the rest of the calls this evening. The first one to say, you're giving the defense a lot of credit. I give him credit for the second half. End of the day, we gave up some crazy plays in that first half.
Oh yeah,
I agree.
If you do all of the work and you give us third and 25.
Third and 19. Oh, I don't. Yep, you're right.
No matter what you do, if you're going to give up plays like that,
last year, they're scoring 24, 25, 27 points.
Yeah, but overall, Gus, I would have to say the defense in the second half kept him in the game. So you're in the game right now.
How long does the football game go for? Is it only one half? You only have to play one half?
Well, then where was the offense in the first half?
You only scored 9 points in the second half. Let's not get carried away. The defense limited them to three. You only scored 9. I would agree with you. That second quarter, they gave up 17 points. Right? That's the most, I believe, that's been scored. 17 to nothing in the second quarter at Gillette Stadium against the Patriots.
It's fair.
Your point is well taken.
It is.
But the fact is, this defense, it was the only reason they were in the game to begin with. The offense didn't do much at all. Yeah.
They had a flash of a couple of those big plays were crazy, but what happens is they figured it out, they're playing aggressive, and they shut them down the second half, gave the Patriots plenty of time to go up and score some points, and they couldn't do it.
All right. So let's shift gears a little bit and put our home hats on. Patriots are great. Now let's shift it on the league itself. I want to shift sports a little bit and talk about tennis. And it comes down specifically to the Challenger.
I'm good.
Seems like you know as much about football.
We're good.
I'm good. We'll do tennis talk another time.
Next week.
I'm good with that. Steve's in Fall River.
What is it?
Hey, Steve. Come on, Steve. You know how this works. Come on, Steve. Let's talk.
Hello.
Okay. I can't wait for Steve either.
Maybe he fell asleep.
He's a veteran caller, too.
Yeah, well.
He's in the bathroom.
Yeah, well,
I didn't say he was a bright caller. I just say he's a veteran caller.
You know, sometimes the older callers, they've been doing it for a long period of time. They get a little complacent. They screw it up.
They want to hear themselves on the radio.
Exactly.
Maybe right, they just a little nap.
Kind of like us. We like hearing ourselves talk.
Here's Avi in Arlington.
Hey, what's going on? This is Avi Jacob from Arlington. I just want to say they need to be a little bit more better sportsmanship and give Brady a break. He won 6 titles. Just leave him. Let the guy be. Stop booing Brady and leave him alone. You know,
I'm not
that's
sure
what I say. Pure sportsmanship is the best.
Leave Brady alone. Don't
leave Brady alone. I love the Aussies.
Tom Olson says that on the show.
The Aussies are all alone.
I was in Buffalo at 2-14. I got booed a lot.
What else you got, Avi?
Tom can take it.
I got to say, these refs blew the call on the Harry touchdown.
Yep.
They didn't have no challenges, but they need to do instant replay. They need to come back with this. Absolutely stupid. I totally agree with you.
Agree.
Right. No disagreement there.
And they agree. And they blew the call on the fumble, and they missed a call on an egregious pass interference on Dorsett. And then what they allowed Watkins to do to Gilmore on the sideline, take him by the face mask and drag him and bury him into the ground.
So let me guess, something new that we've never seen in the National Football League before, official screw-up calls, right? We've never seen that before.
In front of everybody. Sometimes it's different when you're in a crowd.
We've seen it, but it seemed like there was
too many.
A rapid fire of major screw-ups.
Yeah, it seemed like they were swimming upstream constantly.
We're not talking questionable calls. We're not talking about, well, that maybe could go one way. You could see some of these calls that people complain about. Okay, maybe you could see what the referees were thinking. There is absolutely no cause for any of those four scenarios for the referees to get that
wrong. So the sideline judge, I think, is looking at Harry, and what happens is whoever's making the tackle grabbed his left leg. His leg lifts up, and it looks like it is out of bounds, but it's not touching the ground.
Right.
That's what I think he saw. So I think he saw the leg out from outside the sideline. He thought he was out of bounds. That was a bad call.
You know what he saw?
Terrible.
You know what he saw?
Blowing the whistle for that fumble. Terrible
call.
It,
you let it go.
Does not calling that pass interference.
Kansas City Chiefs shirt when he took his out.
Is that what it was, right?
He went in the locker room.
Did you see that? I missed
There's no way that they can miss that call. The one of all.
So you're telling me the referee was wearing a Chiefs shirt?
I saw it.
Really?
He's from Kansas City, you know.
Yeah, he was. His name's Bob Smith.
Wow.
But, you know, a couple of them screwed up the whistle. You're not supposed to blow the whistle until after the play is done.
You know, I tweeted this out a little bit earlier, too. What do you think the NFL addresses any of those calls?
Yes.
Do you think they actually say the Patriots got screwed?
No. Do they come back and say the Patriots got screwed?
Yes.
I think they address it with the officials.
Okay. Well, no. I'm talking. We've seen them publicly address issues. We saw one earlier this year where they said the referees were wrong about something. The NFL came out the next day and said.
Yeah, I would not be surprised to see the NFL come out in the next couple of days and say that should have been a touchdown.
And
they do that.
And should have been a pass interference. And
no, they won't do that. They won't do that because that's too subjective.
All right, well,
the touchdown, my guess is, I would not be surprised at all.
Agreed.
For the next couple of days, they come out and say, you know what, New England.
Yeah, they're not going to change.
And by the way, they still lose the game.
Well, I was going to say,
because it's the difference of 4 points.
But that wasn't the question, though. It wasn't about any of that other than was it the wrong call? It was absolutely the wrong call. That the blowing of the whistle after the fumble was in direct disobedience of what the NFL wanted 3 or 4 years ago when they said, let it play out and then you can replay
it. They should cane him on Fifth Avenue, right?
You know what they do, though? They do.
Fred volunteers. Fred has a cane.
They do.
One of those walkers with the four things.
They
do. Stands up on its own.
They do grade these guys.
Oh, different kind of cane?
Yeah.
They do grade these guys.
They do grade them.
They grade them. Do they fire them?
Wasn't Boger in the Super Bowl?
No, they don't fire them.
They need to degrade them.
Jimmy's in Pittsfield. Jimmy. Next up on the Real Post Game Show.
Hey, guys. Listen, I wanted to talk about N'Keal Harry's play, but before I mention that, can I talk about why I think the refs are blowing these calls?
Sure.
Especially with the quick whistles.
Stupid.
What you've got is guys that have muscle memory and they're too old. These guys have been around too long.
Just the opposite.
You're trying to,
They're just the opposite. They have a lot of guys have left the league in the last year or two, and they have a lot of inexperienced officials.
Incompetent.
Not their
age. And by the way, many of them are full-time employees now because they're moving toward full-time employees as opposed to guys that are doctors and judges and lawyers on the weekdays.
It seems to me that the quick whistle would be an easy thing for them to to train them to stop doing.
That's a rule. That's not supposed to be complicated.
How long has it been around? 5 years? Longer than that?
It just seems to me like these guys, even if they were trained for 2 years on the whistle, that to untrain them, it's not working. We can't.
Listen, don't blow the whistle till the play's over.
Listen,
30 years ago, Fred Smirlis was the most penalized nose tackle in the history
of
football.
The official
so the officials were bad back then, too. Right.
Terrible.
All right?
All right, listen.
I was targeted.
Let me just make my comment about N'Keal Harry. Everybody's talking about the touchdown that he should have been awarded, but nobody's talking about the play that he made, and it was incredible. I mean, I had hope. I mean, he made that catch. He shook off a runner, and he just bolted to the end zone, and I thought he deserved more touches, especially when Philip Dorsett might have been cast for the friendly ghost tonight. He did absolutely nothing. Why is N'Keal Harry lower on the totem pole?
Probably not because what we see
on Sunday is an extension of what the coaches see all week.
Correct.
We don't simply see we don't see them practicing. We don't see how well he's picking up the offense in meetings. We don't see all these various things. Trust me, again, we'll go back to any number of arguments I've had about Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick puts people in the game who thinks will help him win. And there's no other criteria that he goes by. He doesn't go by the fact that he likes somebody. Doesn't go by the fact that somebody is a nice kid. It goes to, can this person help us win? And right now, Bill Belichick's making the decision that N'Keal Harry is not the best guy on the receiving court to help you win the ball game. It's simple.
If you have him in practice and he's screwing up all the time, they're not going to take a chance and use him out there. He's got to prove that he can do it in practice before they're going to trust him in game. It's simple.
And you're not for nothing, but you're in a situation now where these games coming up are more crucial than ever. You've got to find a way to hold on to that number two seed right now, no matter what. You've got to find a way to beat Buffalo. You've got to do a number of these things, and it's not time to let a kid grow into the role. It's just not.
No.
If he's not ready, you've got to put someone you think who's more ready, whether that person is Philip Dorsett, who doesn't seem to be having as good a year as he's had in the past. Again, Bill Belichick will put you – you get game time. You get playing time by earning it.
That's it. They don't.
Simple.
You said trust. Trust me.
It is.
They
it,
don't trust him
here's another
right now.
Thing,
to
guys,
put him in enough
rest. This offense may not help them, but they don't want them to hurt them.
Right.
They don't want to throw interceptions.
Well, that's
they
why
want
Brady
have
grounds the ball. That's why
grounds
Brady
the ball
throws
a
the
lot.
Ball away. Right?
Don't lose the yardage. So right. If they go out there and do nothing, that's not that bad. If they go out there and hurt you, that's really bad.
David's in Rhode Island. Hello, David.
How you doing, guys? Thank you for I appreciate taking the call. So here's my thing. Now, if I may, I'm a former professional athlete, okay? Right. And the sport that I play, these refs would be killed or beat up. Yeah. Now, how can the NFL allow this? Don't they have a referee upstairs?
No.
Don't they have a referee, New York or even in the field?
You can't overturn a play in that situation.
Wait a minute.
Hold on. There's a rule in place. And the rule allows the coach to challenge twice. If you get the first one right, you get a second one, a third one, all right? He didn't have any challenges. So they missed the call, and New England didn't have the challenges.
All right, so let me ask you, what you're advocating then is a system where New York
we need
can
a better
see
system.
That and buzz the referee.
They don't have that.
Yes. You need to override the chief referee.
I agree. Let's have
field.
A system like that. I agree with
we
you.
We need a system like that because these guys, they both call. This game – when they blew the whistle, okay, on that turnover, that would have been a touchdown.
Probably.
Okay, that is baloney. That cannot happen.
Yeah,
NFL has
agreed.
To do something. Somebody has to step up and do something about this.
Right. They challenged that.
They challenged
and
that.
They got the,
and they got the challenge.
Remember, they didn't call it a
But they blew the whistle before the play was over. They should have let the play go on until he ran into the end zone because he would have.
Listen, they addressed that. A few years ago, they were, I don't know if it was a direct rule or something that they told the referees,
No, it's a direct rule. They changed it after that game mentioned.
Yes.
And
let the play let the play go on.
Then
you'll see.
But I will say this, Steve. You see it all the time.
You
see officials ruling it dead, and mainly because they want to protect the quarterback or they want to protect the player. They think he's in the grasp. That's what they do all the time.
But they don't want you. Because once you blow that whistle, that play's dead. So when he's running, even though it was a fumble, the ball's dead. They can review it like Belichick did, and we won the review because we got the ball.
But we agree. We agree. If it's not with today's technology, it's not that hard to do.
Yeah, but the league is never going to do that because you're going to slow the game down. You're going to be checking every single play, Steve.
Not every single play. Not every single play, but the ones that are egregiously bad, like those, you have a criteria. If it's a possible turnover like that. Or if it's a call on the sideline like that, if you want the integrity of the game, if they're concerned about the integrity of the game, why won't you get it right? Now, if you're talking about the guy got his hand caught in the underneath the shoulder pad of a defensive lineman, are you going to stop the game to call holding on that? That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the egregious ones where it's obvious. Patently obvious that the referee's got it wrong.
So the problem in this one is that you ran out of challenges and you did not have that opportunity.
I'm taking that into
because
account.
The officials blew three calls.
I know.
Okay, the Gilmore scoop and should have been a touchdown. The Nikhil Harry
should have
been a touchdown. And the Dorsett non-PI call.
It wasn't even going to be a turnover.
Right.
It wasn't even going to be a turnover.
So he challenged that it was a fumble.
He did.
So because he won that one, he was out of challenges.
Correct.
So now you're screwed because he runs. But you said before, anything that runs in, call it a touchdown, and if it's a, they'll review it.
All scores
simple
are
solution.
Reviewed.
All scores
Why
are
would
reviews.
You blow the whistle? Why would you call him out at that point? Trust me, they say, it happened so fast. You had a few seconds.
See, that one makes sense to me, and I've always thought that, because they put it in that if there is a score, then they have the opportunity to review it. Okay, they always review it.
So let it go.
Well, what about when the guy is ruled down at the 1 yard line or whatever, when really he was in the end zone, or in this case, down at the 3 yard line instead of the end zone? Why don't you also review those?
Yes.
That's an easy fix.
Simple.
It's an easy fix.
Simple, and all it takes is a nod from New York to get it done.
All right. Here's your guy, Jimmy in Saugus. Hello,
Jimmy.
Hey, what another ugly loss. What in the name of Uriah Heep, where did they get those referees tonight on that crew? The WWE?
All right.
What's up, man?
14 weeks into the
season. Jimmy's fading.
Yeah, he's fading. 14 weeks into the season. I think he's wearing out.
You know, it's might be like, the Patriots used to be real strong in December. And they're not as strong in December these last couple of years. Maybe Jimmy's having the same fade.
Could be. Could Maybe be contagious. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get right back to your phone calls, your reaction. New England loses this one. There were some bad calls. There's no question about it.
Bad?
But is there not concern?
Horrendous.
Egregious.
Is there not concern about this offense?
Preposterous.
Right? So
they should fire him on the spot.
I think Kansas City came into the game averaging 30 points a game. Your defense held them to 23. A little shaky in the second quarter, but overall, they held them to 23. But you were unable to put 24 up on the board, and you end up losing.
Right.
All right, we get back to the phone call, 617-779-7937, right here on the Real Post Game Show with our presenting sponsor, Kaplansky Insurance.
Listen to Dale and Keith, weekdays 10 to 2. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
So now that drops the New England Patriots to 10-3. It was the first home loss for the Patriots since week 4 of 2017. It's the first time, by the way, that Brady and Edelman combined in a game have lost to an AFC opponent here at Gillette Stadium. The Ravens wrap up a playoff berth. They are 24-17 winners over the Buffalo Bills. The Bills had an opportunity to tie it up, but they screwed it up as usual late in the game. The 49ers beat the Saints in a shootout, 48-46, a 30-yard field goal as time expired. The Bruins on the road taking on Ottawa tomorrow at 7. Celtics and Cavaliers tomorrow at the Garden at 7:30. Gordon Hayward has been upgraded to questionable for the game. And we are back to more of your questions here on the Real Post Game Show now.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Chiefs get some regular season revenge and take down the Pats. Discuss it now on The Real Postgame Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
Real Postgame Show, 617-779-7937. It's Ordway, it's Smirlis, it's Diassi. 23-16, your final, and there are so many questions about the course of this game. And we'll get right back to your phone calls and let you throw them out there. Here's Brian in Foxborough. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Brian. Long time. Hey, how's it going, Ordway?
Good.
Hey, Brian.
I mean, I was up there in the 300s with the people. Terrible, terrible officiating. That N'Keal Harry, clear as day in the 300s. Clear as day, touchdown.
Yeah, apparently not clear as day on the sideline. Well, the official.
If you were in Kansas City, up high in Kansas City, would have been terrible. As clear as day.
I'm way looking at a Kansas City fan right in the face, and he's smiling at me smug. I cannot believe
after
it.
After he saw the replay, not right away.
I'm looking at him right now, and he's grilling a sausage. It is despicable.
Yeah.
Hope good. It's the ref sausage.
Steal his sausage from him.
Yeah. Tell me not. I'm about to, but that was terrible officiating from quarter one to quarter four. We should be in overtime getting free football right now.
It's a good point. You should still be in the 300 section.
But the worst
one
was Dorsett. Dorsett was on like the 2 yard line, and the guy had his arms around both of his arms right in front of the ref.
Yes,
that's
going
to put it right on the 2 yard line, and he doesn't call it.
It was despicable. I was talking with my father, who was watching the game at home from the television. He even saw it too. The N'Keal Harry play, clear as day, touchdown.
Yep.
We should be getting free football right now. But you know what? I'm driving out of Gillette.
There you go, brother.
All right,
sorry,
be careful
about
in the
that.
Traffic.
Yep.
Again, the refs screw
be
the
careful.
Patriots.
He's not driving.
Like Steve said, how many people in the country are happy that the Patriots
are screwed? A lot of people.
Or the first thing they'll say is, there go the Patriots always get the calls. They're whining that they didn't get the calls this time.
That's what a lot of people say. Let's try Steve in Fall River one more time. Steve, you awake this time?
I'm awake.
How was your nap?
Go, brother.
There's trust issues that Brady has. I have some trust issues with whoever's drafting these people. My last three number one picks, N'Keal Harry, Isaiah Wynn, and Sony Michel, all on offense.
Yep.
What did you get out of these guys today? What have you gotten out of them all season? This is a disaster.
Touchdown that wasn't called. Yeah, that's,
you don't trust Bill's drafting and personnel.
No, I've never trusted Bill's drafting.
why not? What didn't you like about it?
We're last in the league in tight end
I'm not talking about, hold on. I'm talking about over the years. What didn't you like about Bill Belichick? You said you didn't like him from the beginning. What don't you like about his roster building? The championships?
It's terrible.
You don't like the championships?
Steve, I'm not going to debate those three first-round draft picks. Calm down. Okay, you weren't awake the first time. Now you're awake and just relax.
Sounds like you're arrested.
I would agree with you that there are a lot of draft picks that you can question with Bill Belichick, as you can with most people who draft out there. I would say on the whole,
he
has been the best roster builder in the National Football League.
Is that not
and
true?
I hate to tell you, but 17 or 18 years ago when you were calling, you said the Patriots' run is
over and they suck. We are 20 years into it, Steve.
You've been wrong, 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 and wrong again.
Let me say two things.
Give me some specifics first, Steve. Hold on a second.
Let me say two things.
I'm going to ask you some very, very simple questions.
Steve lost credibility 17 years ago.
Just some simple questions. He is a terrible roster builder, correct?
Yep.
Okay, good. So that means he must be the most unbelievably magnificent coach in the history of any coaching ever in the history of the world of any sport ever.
Right.
Because he surrounds himself with inferior players.
Let me ask you a question.
Well, I'm asking you. I'm asking you first.
You can't answer your question.
What has been the result of his poor drafting and roster building? What's been the result?
Steve, that's a simple question.
What has been the result?
I'm going to tell you two things. You guys will
No, you're not. You're
going to
answer the questions. What you're going to do?
Answer the questions.
What has been the result of his roster building?
He spent more time in the draft in 2000.
What has been the result of his roster building?
Deciding what to have for lunch.
Let's make a deal. You answer my question, I'll answer any question you have. How's that sound?
Steve only calls, by the way, when they lose.
It's very, right? Okay? very seldom he calls.
Exactly. Steve doesn't call much. He used to call a lot more because he kept on predicting for 17 or 18 years now the demise of the New England
Patriots.
He got
tired of being wrong.
So he finally, that's why he was asleep the first time around. Right. He's not accustomed to actually calling and being able to converse and talk about it.
Yeah, a home loss, jeez.
I have no problem with sitting here and talking with Steve, but he's like Max Kellerman. Kellerman only predicted the demise of Brady 3.5 years ago.
Right.
This caller's been doing it for 18 years, and it's the same tired, stupid
argument. He's consistent,
argument.
Though.
So he's 69 times better than Max Kellerman.
Really? Yeah. Listen, I agree with you on the three guys you mentioned. They have not really contributed.
Yet.
You are absolutely correct. To this point, the three
of
them
Michelle
have not
did
contributed.
Pretty well last year in the Super Bowl. He did pretty good.
He
job.
Did. He was good.
How was Tom Brady's first year?
He was good
year.
In the playoffs.
How was Tom Brady's rookie year?
I don't remember. How long ago was that?
He didn't play.
Okay, here's Wayne. Wayne's calling from the parking lots here. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, Wayne.
How you doing? I hear a lot of conversation. I don't know why you got Steve on the phone, but
we get paid for it.
We like stupidity.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. But you know, one of the things you guys don't hit on is Belichick's first challenge call. They overruled it, and there was clearly two problems with that call. Number one, the guy was a yard and a half short of what should have been a first down, and the other one was a pick. Because they lost that challenge, he couldn't challenge the Nikhil Harry call.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
You know,
true,
right?
But here's the thing: he wasn't a yard and a half past the first down marker. They marked it. They marked it a yard ahead, but he wasn't. It was a lot closer. And you don't have a lot of time to make that decision. I'm not making excuses for Belichick. He doesn't need me to defend him.
But he needed that call, guys.
But he needed that third and fourth,
I believe, with Watkins, right? They needed that call.
Yeah, even if he got a first down, the challenge still should have been held because he was a yard short marked the ball.
Correct. So he got screwed on the challenge. You're right. And by the way, in that same series, you had the Kelce fumble.
That's right.
Same series. Then what he does is he challenges there, and now suddenly he's out of challenges.
But
it was all in one series.
To challenge those.
Had to challenge both of them, though, Wayne.
If he didn't, he wouldn't have got the ball back. They made him. They had to make the ball back.
He gets a Nikhil Harry touchdown, and at the end of the game, when he's trying to get a touchdown with a fourth down, he can kick a field goal and tie the game. It's a freaking tie game.
Right, but if you're saying the first challenge was necessary?
Well, the first challenge was necessary because it was clear.
And then the second one,
the fumble was as well.
The fumble was too.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, the fumble was as too.
So he had no choice.
He had no choice.
Listen, today they needed about 7 challenges. I think that was about it.
You're right, they did.
Yeah, no, the referees were challenged.
I have no problem with that first challenge. And I agree because we watched it. I think Tony Romo even said he's short. Yeah. But you're looking at that yellow line. So sometimes it's a little bit deceiving. But it looked like he was short. The ball was not over that line.
And he didn't have the ability to challenge it to a sense. He could have challenged that. Yeah, he would have won that.
Challenged Dorsett's too.
He could have challenged Dorsett. Tony Romo said he couldn't.
Because of the situation of the game, and granted, you and your team put you in that situation, so you're not making excuses for it. But given that situation, you had to challenge both of those plays.
That's right. And so then he couldn't do the other two, and Dorsett's probably would have led to a touchdown on the 2 yard line.
Doesn't happen that often.
Doesn't happen that often
in the NFL.
And it was all in the fourth, the fourth quarter.
It all happened in the third quarter. It all happened very quickly.
And with Dorsett at the end of the game was a huge one that he couldn't do.
End of the third, everything unraveled with the officials.
Yeah, like their official's brain.
Right. Here's Mike in Jersey. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call. You're right. Believe me, I'm watching the game down here. I'm the only Pats fan in a small sports bar. People love it when the Pats lose. They just love it.
Well, it's like we growing up in Boston, we loved when the Yankees lost. We were still sportsmen.
We appreciate it.
Exactly.
So that was only me throwing rocks at the Yankees bus leaving
you.
Fenway.
Everybody else.
No, you were just a kid, though. You're 21.
That's true. Yeah, but I was in
when you're watching that at the end with Dorsett, we're like, his hand size. Who thought there was going to be such an egregious call, no call, on that particular play at the end of the game when you need it the most?
Yeah. Yeah, it's heartbreaking, to see those calls. But another game that you're watching where, this O-line is just not capable of really, it is what it is. And there's not really too much you're going to be able to do about it this late in the game.
Agreed.
And we always
pump up Dante Scarnecchia as one of the best assistants in the NFL, and even Scar can't get much progress with the situation they're in. You lost your center, you lost your backup center, your left tackle from last year who signed the biggest left tackle contract in history is gone. Your tight end, who was one of the best blocking tight ends ever, is gone. Your fullback is gone. You're seriously depleted to the point where even Scar, who's the best, one of the best assistants in the entire NFL, can't make
chicken salad sometimes.
Right.
Sometimes the beginning ingredients are worse than the alternative.
Yes.
For instance, we were playing with Bruce Smith, and we found a weak link. We'd put him on the weak link.
Right.
It would tie up the other two guys, and it'd eat him for lunch. That's what's happened today.
He's not
good enough. When you're Andrews,
Bruce couldn't find one in the Super Bowl.
David Andrews is center.
David Andrews is so much better a center than the other
running,
two.
Especially in a running game.
He pass blocks real well, and he opens the holes. It's a huge – so you have a guy that you can tackle play after play, and there's no one else you can put
in. The centers make a lot of calls too, don't they?
That's right. They call where the blocking's going to be. You're going to slide this way. You're going to back out this way. So he addressed all that. Yep. This kid hasn't played that much, and he's an undersized guy, and he's not that strong. They were just killing him.
So one of those snaps that Brady gets sacked in was a low snap, if you remember.
Yeah.
Remember that? It was a low snap. Yep. He had to pick it up, and then by that time, it was too late. But you can see it. They can't run the ball up the middle, guys.
No.
You can't. Notice they were having some success running it on the outside on a few plays in this game.
Well, they're stacking alignment on the inside of the tackles.
Correct.
And they were getting penetration, and when they didn't get much penetration, they could get out on that outside.
But inside, they cannot run the ball up the middle. Brady's your best runner up the middle, I think, Fred.
Look at his average tonight.
Yeah, it was terrific.
Yep.
Here's John in a car. Hi, John.
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
Hey, Johnny.
Okay, John.
You guys, I think you guys are missing the worst call of the game.
Okay.
And the worst call of the game, and I'll piggyback on a little bit about what one of the other callers said about the first down call there that wasn't given a first down. Here's what the worst call of the game, and here's what it is. The drive started, Kansas City started their drive at the 29-yard line. So it was the 39-yard line that was whether or not the ball was a first down. So it was a judgment call as to whether or not the ball actually reached the 39-yard line. Okay, so that's a judgment call. They had the ball spotted at the 40.
Yes,
so
I
the
did.
40. That. So what the call should have been, if they didn't want to give the Patriots a first down on and saying it was a judgment, the judgment, what they should have, the call should have been by the refs, is the Patriots win the call because what you're calling is the spot of the ball.
That's right.
So the ball should have went from the 40 to the 39. So therefore, the
they
Patriots
don't lose
the challenge. They win the challenge.
That's the challenge.
But they don't get a first down.
Because
you're challenging the spot of the ball. You're not challenging whether it's a first down. And then they wouldn't have lost that timeout.
How do you decide if it's a first down where the ball's spotted, correct?
No, no, he's saying they put the ball out an extra yard. They brought it back because it was over.
So they should have won the challenge. They should have won the challenge in that it's a bad spot. So you put it at the 39. And you say it's not a first down, but they win. You don't win it.
No, it was. Yes, it would have been a fourth.
No, I've seen that call, Glenn. Glenn, I've seen that call where you win the challenge on the spot of the ball, but it's still not a first down.
So wait a minute. You're saying that Bill Belichick challenged that the stakes would be past that? Is that what you're saying?
No, he challenged that it was
when you challenge the spot of the ball, correct?
That's what you're doing when you
You guys got it wrong. Hold
you're
on.
Challenging the first down call.
You're not, Glenn. You're challenging
they go
the
to
spot on the field.
That's not how they do it.
Then how do they decide if it was a first down or not?
It's not the spotting of the ball.
No, I'm saying it's not a first down. First down was a judgment call. So let's suppose that they spotted the ball at the 44-yard line, right?
How do you challenge if it's a first down or not?
The first down at the 39.
How do you challenge if it's a first down or not?
They're challenging
the spot
of the ball,
correct?
That's the challenge.
Yes, that's the challenge.
What he's saying is they challenged the spot of the ball, which was a yard
old. So they should have moved.
They moved it. They still called it a first down.
I know that.
You guys are missing the point.
How do you challenge?
You're missing the point, Glenn.
No.
Glenn, when play resumed, the ball picked up where? Glenn, when play
they
resumed,
the ball
picked up
they
where?
Put, hold on. They put the ball on the 39-yard line.
No, you're wrong, Glenn. They put the ball on 40. I'll bet, Glenn,
lost
you're
challenge.
Wrong. They put the ball at the 40.
Nope. No, after they challenged it, they put the ball in the 39.
And then lost challenge.
No, they didn't.
They still said it got to the marker.
I understand what he's saying.
When they ran the next play after that, the ball was at the 40.
Because the placement of the ball.
They could do that.
So the placement was wrong.
So how do you win? Okay,
that's
John.
That's what he's saying.
Stop it, Fred. Yep. How do you choose? John, then why didn't they overturn it?
Because the ball, let's say that the ball, because he didn't get to the 39. Maybe he got to the 38 and
so
three
quarters.
So they
lost the challenge, John.
What are you talking about?
No, what they're challenging is the spot of the ball.
Yes, because they thought the spot of the ball.
You're challenging the spot of the ball.
Oh, my God.
On whether it's a first down or whether it's a fourth down.
Just listen. He said,
he
doesn't realize
the spot of the ball.
The challenge was for the first down, but the challenge of where they spotted the ball was wrong.
That's part of the
equation. So they said they won the slot of the ball.
You lose the challenge.
I know that, but he's saying is they moved the ball because he challenged. Just let me finish.
Okay.
He said they challenged where they put the ball.
They're one and the same.
I understand that, but that's what he's saying.
I know.
But that doesn't count.
Fred, he's wrong.
Okay,
I'm saying they challenged the spot of the ball for the first down.
Anybody, will you listen for once in your life?
Good.
All I'm saying, what the guy said was the spot of the ball was wrong.
Okay.
So they moved it back. He thinks that the challenge
was correct. Let me read the NFL rule for you. Okay.
Because he was
not correct.
He's not correct. Let me read it for you. Can I read the NFL rule?
Stop screaming.
Note that the spot of the ball may be challenged in certain cases. In such cases, a decision to respot the football is not enough to win the challenge.
That's right.
Only when the ball is respotted and the ruling on the field is reversed by remeasurement is the challenging team not charged
a timeout.
That's
what I said, but I was trying to tell you what he was saying.
He was wrong.
I know that. But
why were you trying to explain what he was saying?
Because that's what he's explaining. All I have to say, it doesn't matter.
But I explained it in two words. You're wrong.
You're wrong, but I just explained to him.
You just went on a diatribe.
Because you're
crap,
screaming
about crap,
and you're jumping on your buddy's back.
No,
here.
I'm not.
I agreed with you, but
right,
what he
I'll
was saying.
What, I'll expand it Jesus to three words. You
are
wrong.
He was wrong. He was right.
Not
the
you.
Ball spotting was wrong,
you.
But the play
oh my
was
God,
successful.
You're talking about the same
that's
goddamn
all
thing.
You don't have to swear.
That's not a swear.
Because you guys are beating up on
right,
the poor guy. You didn't know what he's talking about.
So the guy beats up, says the officials are wrong, and even though you know that the officials were that they were
but
right.
But
you didn't
let
case
him finish so what Bill he was Bell, saying.
So Bill, oh we did. Oh, he said geez enough. He said it was.
You're just so ready to. You,
no,
reach, you probably
no
made it up.
Wait a minute. Why do you,
I understand
when your original
that
premise is wrong?
You're
why
pounding
go
out of the guy.
Wait a minute. Hold on. When your original premise is wrong,
go pound everybody.
But wait. When his premise is wrong, why go forward with an incorrect premise?
I know, but he didn't understand what you were saying.
It's a way that Fred.
Well, then why are you trying to explain it?
I just did, but you were screaming.
No, you didn't explain it. We explained it.
The ball
you
placement was wrong.
He is wrong.
The ball placement was wrong, but there wasn't overturned.
Caller.
So that's why you didn't.
But he's,
didn't
the same
count
thing. He's claiming they should have won the
I know
challenge
that. I said he's wrong.
Because the ball was spotted in the wrong thing. Oh. So the officials fix it by moving
you
the ball
a
back, but you still don't win the challenge because
right
you didn't make
that's
the
correct
marker. You didn't get to
all
the marker.
All I was doing was trying
and
to explain.
By the way, I thought he got to the marker. I thought he got there.
But
they didn't rule that way.
Why do you have to explain when the guy was wrong?
Because the guy didn't know what he's talking about. I'm trying to.
That's what we told him, but we.
But you didn't let him finish.
Yes, we did.
No,
we didn't have
didn't
to because
oh,
once
God
he said his.
Now it's always baby.
Hold on. Once
the
he
ref
said,
again screwed
okay
up a placement all right, of the
go
ball.
All right, see, I'm gonna have a conversation with you. Oh, the sun is beautiful right now. Look at that sun; it's gorgeous.
It is gorgeous. Look at that sun right out there.
Oh, you guys, can we talk about it?
You're beating up the poor guy.
Can we talk
to
about it?
To him.
In a few hours,
here
it will
you go.
Be
the ball placement was wrong, but it didn't matter. That's
oh
all you had to
God
say.
We did.
You did not.
Oh my.
You don't win the challenge.
It's correct.
Okay.
But the ball placement was wrong.
You're the best. You are the absolute best.
Oh my God. Love, you shut up. You know you asked for a hole in the ground.
Oh you God are the absolute
oh
best.
Why don't you beat
oh
up some more callers, Glenn?
Oh, oh, the big
why don't you take another cup of shut the
I'm
F
not
up?
I'm trying to beat up the caller.
You
but
beat him into the ground. The poor guy's
no
driving home
his
from a game.
His
upset
premise was
he hates
wrong
the ref.
Well, we explained to him why his premise was wrong, and he still went forward with it. Why do you want to listen to
because you're screaming at him.
You don't win it.
Because I'm kind to every caller.
Oh, my God.
You guys are bullies.
Oh, listen to Hillary over here.
Bully.
Oh, my Hillary.
Listen.
Bully.
Hashtag
oh
Fred 2.
Oh, you crossed the line
hashtag
now
Fred 2.
Oh, yeah. This kind of. Can everyone that hates Ordway please call
right
now?
Senator Warren, we're taking a break.
I'm taking your
oh
money.
779-793-7.
He moved the ball
because
the ball was not
right
placed correctly.
Right here in the real postgame show. I'm going out of my mind.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is the Real Postgame Show. The Pats fall to the Chiefs. Discuss it now on the Real Postgame Show. Presented by Kaplansky Insurance. The right coverage at the right price. Kaplansky.com on Sports Radio WEEI.
Back down here in Foxborough, it is the Real Postgame Show. The Patriots, if you don't know, lost the game tonight, 23-16, third loss of the season. They're now 10-3. And I don't know about you, Steve, but I just want to apologize to Fred. I thought he was 100% wrong, as the caller was wrong, and I read you the NFL rule. But I feel it is the Christmas season.
I've been,
and I really, I'm afraid that you know, like Santa's going to get pissed off at me, and other people are. I apologize to you.
Beat the poor guy up.
No, I apologize to you and the caller.
My text messages have been going off the hook, and. I've
sure,
and
right?
They've told me that I should apologize to you, Fred.
Played in the NFL, probably.
They sounded mean. Yeah. No, but she's tough enough.
What do you mean, she?
Johan, my girlfriend.
Your girlfriend?
my wonderful,
she's
wonderful partner of
I love your girlfriend,
years.
Joanna, but
she's wonderful.
You know, stay out of it.
No, shut up, you. Shut up.
But the big thing, hey,
Freddie, I'm
Johanna.
I love you, Johanna.
They were being bullies to a poor guy calling up.
I am sorry.
We weren't as bad to him as we were to you. I apologize.
Yeah, yeah, they really feel bad.
You're much fun, more fun.
You guys don't need mics. They can hear you for 10 miles.
I apologize profusely. I'm sweating profusely. I won't do that again.
Until the next stupid caller you agree with. I didn't agree with him. I'm trying to clarify it to him.
I mean, I think everybody, you know what it is? Everybody's pissed off tonight. They lost the game. I think people realize the offense is not good enough. But they're also pissed off because there were some injustices, you know?
At a crucial time,
right,
too.
In the game. And you're sitting there going, man, if those plays could have gone the way they should have gone, if they were the correct calls, then maybe, as one caller said, he's still in the 300 section and you're still playing an overtime period, right?
Yep.
I mean, and I think that was what people are looking at. So people are pissed. I get it. On the other hand, the bigger picture on all of this is you look at this offense. These are teams like Baltimore and Kansas City that you're going to have to face in the postseason.
And the Patriots were given opportunities to do better than what they did offensively today.
They had three turnovers,
if you include the blocked punt. They had opportunities to do a lot more than they did. They won the turnover battle, but they lost the game.
You talk about momentum, and a big touchdown happens, a rook gets in there. The momentum starts going your way, right? You got a touchdown. They feel it in the other team. It seems silly, but of all sports,
yes,
the emotion takes a lot.
It gives the team that's right, doing the good things a boost, and it puts the other team on edge a little bit.
That's right.
Okay, so the momentum had shifted over, and after they overturned that fumble, I want to pick out a specific thing that people saw on television. They saw Patrick Mahomes. What has he been in the league, 3 years now? He's on the sideline screaming at his offense, and I loved it. It is exactly what Tom Brady did a week ago that people all over the country, the national experts, are sitting there going, Tom Brady shouldn't be doing that. He should be nicer. Are you going to say the same thing about Patrick Mahomes? Because I thought what Mahomes did was 100% right.
Correct.
His offense had lost all sorts of momentum.
Agreed.
He was sitting there basically saying, get your bleep together, guys, or we're in trouble. And he was screaming in their face. So, I loved it. That's a leader. Sorry, that's a leader.
Sometimes leaders, there's a lot of different ways to lead, but many times a leader has to step up and get in someone's face about things. And
did you have a problem with what Mahomes did?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, did you have a problem with Brady did
no.
last week? But people did nationally. They made a big, huge deal about that. We had to hear the audio come out.
Yeah.
And once you heard the audio, you said, that was mild. By the way,
that
was mild what Brady did last week compared to what we saw Mahomes. I want to hear the audio of Mahomes.
Mahomes.
And by the way, he did the right thing.
Mahomes felt the game was switching to the Patriots.
He was
the
right.
The momentum was on their side. Come on, we got to stop them.
And
we
stopped it three and out. And their offense wasn't doing enough.
They weren't doing enough.
And you're the leader of that offense. You're the undeniable leader of the offense. You're one of the best quarterbacks in the league. You're whom this team is based on. And you're the leader, whether you like it or not. You're the leader. And he accepted that role sometimes in the NFL, it's a little difficult because you, especially for a guy like him, because you've got some guys that are older than you,
yep,
3, 4, 5, 6 years. It's
yep,
not like you're in college. You know, you got some guys that have been around for a while quite often, and sometimes it's hard for young leaders to get in someone's face like that. He did the right thing.
I agree.
You're 100% correct.
I agree.
Well, you remember a guy named Marino. How many times were you screaming at those guys?
From the get-go.
From the get-go.
A receiver's on every play.
From the get-go.
Every play. You want it done. Tom, I want you guys to do that, and it did a little bit
better. I don't understand where there was criticism of Brady this last week. I don't think there'll be any criticism of Mahomes because, you know, people look at him differently right now. Young kid, whatever. And if you're going to be more critical, you should be more critical of the younger quarterback. Though I repeat, Mahomes did exactly what
absolutely
he was supposed
correct
to do. His receiver dropped the ball. What the bleep are you doing?
Yeah.
We need to hold on to the football at
right
this point. I don't have a problem. I think that was the sign to me that he was telling his offense, we better get this act together, boys. We're not scoring here in the second half.
They were getting a little tight in the rectum.
Little tight in the rectum.
But again, that's going to happen in the ebb and flow right of any game. And if and he's leader enough to get out there and tell the guys.
I liked it. I thought it was good.
But it's funny in a voice that sounds like,
I mean, especially,
Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, but
it
especially,
sounds like Kermit the Frog.
But especially
he's got a Kermit voice.
You've got a guy like Kelce, who is he's been in the league, what, 6-7 years?
Yep.
You know, and a great
and
player.
And a great player.
And sometimes it's harder for young leaders to get in those guys'
and
he grill.
Was the guy that dropped the ball, too.
Agreed.
So that, and he got into his face.
Yeah.
And Miss Piggy got pissed at Kermit. Here's Paul. Paul's in Braintree. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Paul.
I'm still sorry, Fred.
Hey, gentlemen, how are you?
Sorry too, Fred.
Just buy me something to eat.
Okay. Paul, go
Hello.
Ahead, buddy.
Hey, yeah, listen. You know, I don't think people talk enough about the loss of James Dublin. This running game is pretty bad, and we're starting every game with 2 runs in 3rd and 7. Now, why not utilize a tight end or a linebacker in a Mike Vrabel-type role there as another blocker? Because I think the James Dublin loss really hurts. We can't run up the middle. They just can't seem to get it done.
Well, last week they started out running the ball. They ran out on the outside a few times, was like they did today. But Devlin's the best blocking fullback I've ever seen. I mean, this guy is...
That might be a stretch.
Ever seen? What are you talking about?
100 years of the NFL?
Really?
Ever seen. All the years I've watched football. He's a tremendous
You said that about Sam Gash.
What about Sam Gash? You said that about Sam Gash.
Devlin's better.
Really?
Better. Gash would knock your brains out.
What about the next fullback the Patriots have?
Man, I'll tell you
this guy the Chargers had a couple
He'll be better.
Years
your wife's still
too.
Listening, Steve. Sorry,
Freddie.
Right. The only thing I would say about that, Paul, I agree. It's a combination of the loss of Gronk, okay, and what he brings as a blocker, and Devlin. But let's also remember that they didn't always have Devlin. Look at the reps he had last year. He wasn't out there every single play.
But without
Sony Michel is a problem right now. He's a problem.
Yeah.
You can't just throw that all on James Devlin.
But not having Devlin is part of the whole thing. Not having Gronk, not having Trent Brown, not having David Andrews. All those
Andrews
things are part of it. And Devlin, I agree that he is a part of the problems with the running game. But is he the biggest factor? He's one of some very serious factors.
There's a lot of good wham blocks, but you're talking about the center. When he's in there, he's the guy calling. He's the guy who's giving help to the guards that are having problems. He sees these things. He backs up. He goes to where there's an issue, right? This is happening.
But they took
he's trying to save his life.
They took away with some of their formations, their defensive front, and you pointed this out, Freddie, they took away the ability for him to quite often centers are helping out guards. They took that away. They pinpointed him, and they were going right at him. That wasn't even a question.
They went to the tackles went to the outside offensive guards, made them block one-on-one, and they left the center all alone.
And they brought some blitzes right up the middle, too.
But you're right, Paul. The running game is a major problem, and especially against Kansas City, because that's what you want to do, right? You want to run the football against them, and you want to keep Mahomes off the field. You don't want to give Mahomes eight more plays than you had, right?
You probably want
But then why not use a tight end in that role or something like that? Get another block.
Well, they don't. They probably don't.
Yeah, like a Mike Vrabel type of role.
They used a little bit of a Landon Robinson.
Vrabel wasn't a blocker. Vrabel caught touchdown passes.
That's correct.
He was more of a tight end type.
Tight end. He wouldn't be like that. They have a couple guys coming in. They had a fullback that hurt, too. It was the guy that was in a couple weeks ago, and he got hurt.
Yakum Johnson.
You really can't have it both ways, saying that Devlin was a huge part of this, and then you can just slip a tight end in there to do the job. You can't really have that both ways. That's a little contradictory.
I will say this. You're seeing a lot more teams, and you're seeing them do it against New England. They're lining up tight ends in the backfield. We saw a lot of that with Baltimore lining them up.
Yeah.
We saw it last week with Houston. They did it, and we did it. We saw it tonight with the direct snap
to Kelce,
and that was the touchdown.
Yep.
So you're seeing more of that, and other teams are starting to throw that look at New England because I think they look back at that Baltimore game and they said, "Boy, that was effective." They had no answers for it.
But Baltimore has bigger, stronger tight ends.
Well, that's their offense too.
And they have that
they put three running backs
the
back there, and one's
they
a
have
tight
that,
end.
That defensive tackle Lyman, that also plays fullback for them too. So 42, whatever his name is.
So they line them. They line them all up.
You're talking 270, 275, and probably 295 across the board.
And what the Patriots did down the stretch, they're moving people up, standing up, making them change the calls they're making up and down the line. The linebackers and the tackles are standing.
Yeah, they did when they
and
were
moving.
Yeah, they
yeah.
Were. Yeah.
Here's one thing I will say: the Patriots did a good job of today was was stop Kansas City's running game. And you look at it, and I'm not a big fan of LeSean McCoy right now because I just don't think Shady McCoy is the same player. He's not the same player. But Mahomes did nothing running the football.
Agreed.
And that was something that has been an issue in the past. By the way, your Buffalo Bills did a pretty good job on Lamar Jackson and containing him in that game. Should have won that game.
And Tariq Hill wasn't as big a factor as you would normally assume in this game. I mean, he's still one of the fastest players, or probably the fastest player.
And they put Jonathan Jones on Tyreek Hill in this game. Now, I don't know if the hamstrings bothered him, but I thought overall he did a pretty good job on him. And then they put Gilmore on what's-his-face, Watkins, right? Yep. They put him on Watkins. But with Hill, they always had the safety up.
Not always. There were a few times that they didn't, and they were taking a chance just because they were trying to show different looks.
A lot of times they had McCourty up there on top of Kelsey as well.
You can't give that 100% double team the guy every single time. You have to probably use it more often than not, but you still have to throw a few plays in there where you're making it look like you are and not.
They seem to change up an awful lot during the course of the game.
Because like Tony said, they're organized. They go out there. They don't make many mistakes. They can come to a lot of different looks and a lot of different fronts and a lot of different coverages out there and disguise them because they're all on the same page. Smart team.
Yeah.
And it took effect to them. They were beating the stuff Patriots had. They found out. Then they changed it again. And they were standing up guys so he couldn't reach.
There were a lot of changes.
And they still had some some big plays. That one touchdown pass that was actually kind of underthrown a little bit. And Kelsey had a 20-yard or two. But they had one play where they got a first down on 2nd and 25, another play where they got a first down on 3rd and 19.
By the way, those
was that 4th and 19, right?
3rd and 19.
Third and 19.
Yeah. And one of them, I think, was in the middle of the field and wide open. On that long.
Yeah.
All right, 617-779-7937. Patriots lose. It is a frustrating loss in that the offense struggled, but officials struggled as well, and you got some bad calls in this game.
Crooks.
We get back to your phone calls at 617-779-7937.
Sorry, Fred.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.